Directors Podcast, a show about movies, fun, and competition, where our hosts draft movie-related items and make fun of each other along the way. Now for our hosts, Caleb, Quantas, and Roman.
All right, Film Drafters back for season three. Guys, we have as many seasons. We have more seasons than Firefly. So I think we're doing a pretty good job here. Season three. Yeah, we are excited. Excited to be back with you guys. Feels like it's been a long time. So I think what a lot of shock jocks and morning radio guys say, like, it's good to be back. So like you guys feel good to be back? What did you do this last month?
Worked. And watched.
It was really
worked
boring.
And watched.
That was a really boring answer. You could have made something up. You had a month to think of something.
Yeah, I did not. Alas.
Quantas, you got a new job. So you're selling balloons to children or something.
Yes. We got to make the podcast exciting. I'm a professional rodeo clown now. That was my promotion.
Yeah, you guys can't see it at home, but he's in a full body cast right now, like zooming from the hospital. Like, yeah, a rodeo clown, that's like a job you can have once. And yeah, that's about it. All right. Well, if it's your first time listening to us, welcome. We want to thank you guys for joining and listening. Hopefully you found us on Facebook or somewhere else and you hit that like button or subscribe button, and you can find us on everywhere that you get your podcasts. So go over there and hit that subscribe button, follow button, all the buttons and all those fun things. But we're going to kick off season three, this fall semester of episodes, talking about one of our most requested topics ever. Just kidding. Nobody requests anything. But movies with numbers in the title. So I was very surprised when I started making my list because I came up with way more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I have a
lot. Also, yeah, we're excluding sequels. So it can't just be like Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, or
Bad Boys 2.
Yeah, we can't do any of those things.
Too Fast, Too Furious is off the table.
I know, I thought about it, but yeah, it is a sequel. Pick. Yeah, so no sequels. All right, so Quantas, you have the first pick. So when you're ready, go ahead and draft.
Time to draft.
All right, for my first pick, I had to go with one of my personal favorites. I had to go with David Fincher's 7. It's just so good. It's so great. I rewatched it. I was like, before I rewatched it, I was like, yeah, 7 is like a really great movie. Like, probably nothing wrong with it. And then you rewatch it, and then I'm like, it's probably even better than I remember. It's probably one of like the greatest movies ever made. Just so meticulous and so much detail packed into it. All the performances are amazing. The way it's stylized, even to have like the 7 in the middle of the 7, it doesn't even feel cheesy or like forced. It's just like, yeah, that adds up. So yeah, props to 7. Shout out.
I was going to ask, like, should I spell it with the 7 for the V, which like it makes no sense, but like, you know how to pronounce that. 7 really, it should be 7N is how you should say it. But yeah, certain actor excluded that we don't really want to talk about, like the movie itself, like, just works so well, and there's so much mystery to it. Like, you don't know for sure what's in the box at the end, but you're pretty sure you know what's in the box. Brad Pitt just giving a killer performance. I think anybody who just labels Brad Pitt as just like the calm dude who like is always eating something in a movie, like this performance here, like, he's definitely doing something different. And like, I just picture him crying like the whole movie and just being upset with everything. And Morgan Freeman is so solid as well. And yeah, David Fincher, I think, though, is like the real star of this movie. Just how meticulous everything is, and everything just feels grimy and dark. It's like it's the best Gotham City that we've ever seen. Like, if it was a Gotham City, like, that's like real life Gotham City is what it would be.
Yeah, for some reason that movie like exudes Baltimore. There's no reason for it to be Baltimore, but it just feels like a Baltimore. It looks like a Baltimore. But yeah, I mean, 7, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. Brad Pitt, obviously, giving an insane performance at the end against he who shall not be named. And Morgan Freeman is just, again, so very good. But yeah, just a masterpiece of a movie. That probably would have been my number one pick because I know it wouldn't get back to me. But like Caleb said, man, there's a lot of numbers that we can pick.
We ran the numbers, and there was two like big ones that I wanted, which hopefully maybe I'll get for mine, but I'm going to guess Roman's probably going to take one of them.
We will see. Do I have the second pick?
Yep, you do.
Okay. A lot of directions I can go. There's a lot of numbers out there. So many. I think I have to go with Ocean's 11. I think what's super cool about Ocean's 11 is there's actually 12 guys if you count Danny Ocean, but because it's Ocean's 11, it's his 11 guys that he gets for the job. So the title is just so clever. 11, 12, and 13. But since we can't do sequels, Ocean's 11 would be the one for me. I think it'd be even better if it was just the 1-1. I think it's like that on the poster, actually, but it's actually worded Ocean's 11, I think.
Right.
It could be wrong.
Is it?
But okay. I don't know. I'm about to look. But either way, Ocean's 11, also one of my favorite movies ever made, mainly because of Brad Pitt, really. He's so good in that. And then just, of course, the heist and everything like that. So Ocean's 11 is my number one pick.
Yeah, that's a great pick. And we just need more movies with like Brad Pitt and George Clooney together, because like the few movies that they've done together just have like fantastic like chemistry, even though like in Burn After Reading, maybe they meet each other for like literally one half of a second. But like there's just so much like gravitas that they bring to the screen. I want to see more George Clooney. Like, I don't understand why he's not doing stuff. I mean, he's like making espressos or something. But Ocean's 11 is just such a fun movie too. Like, we really need, like, Soderbergh needs to come back and like do like that all-star cast heist thing again. Like, I even kind of liked the Ocean's 8 thing with all the ladies. Like, I think like there's still like a desire for these types of movies to be made. So Ocean's 15, 16, Ocean's 35, like, bring it on.
That'd be insane.
Like, at a certain point, it's very obvious that you're doing a bank heist if you got like 35 guys all in one place.
Yeah, but that's what I want to see. Like, all the Ocean's movies are just like comfort food bangers for me. Like, I can just throw them on, relax, rewind. Even Ocean's 8 is like really good. And I had like kind of low expectations for that. I'm like, oh, they're doing like another Ocean's movie like this late in the game. I don't think Soderbergh was attached to that one though, was he? But I think all the Ocean's movies should be up for fair game too. Like, even the sequels, because like, I'm not up on Ocean's lore, but there aren't like 11 of those movies, are there, like before Ocean's 11?
No.
Okay, cool.
Well, like, there was the whatever one with like, is it just called Ocean's 11 also, like with Frank Sinatra?
Yep. And like, so I did my research. The poster for Ocean's 11 Soderbergh is Ocean's 11 spelt out. The Lewis Milestone movie is Ocean's 11 with the number. And yes, that's Frank Sinatra. It's Danny Ocean and his pails is the tagline.
His pails.
His pails from Wisconsin, apparently. But yeah, that's my research.
Cool.
We learned something.
You learned something. Yeah, the more you know. All right. Well, my first two picks, you guys didn't take them. And you're going to be very upset when I say them, because they're like, they weren't the first ones that came to my mind. But then I was like, okay, yeah, these are two of the greatest movies ever made. And so I'm about to crown myself the king of this draft by just taking these two. But it's very tempting, since you guys both drafted a Brad Pitt movie, for me to draft a Brad Pitt movie, because there's definitely another one that he's in that is really great as well, that we could just make it three in a row. But I can't really pass this up. So I'm going to take the first movie I'm going to take is it starts with a very large number called 2001, A Space Odyssey. Maybe like the coolest, like greatest movie experience sitting in a theater that you're ever going to have, just with the sound and the just the visuals and stuff, that even some of the stuff like looks better than Star Wars, than Star Wars was 10 years later. It's just like fantastic. It feels like a movie out of time. Like, it doesn't feel like it belongs. Like, you don't feel like you should be allowed to watch it when you're watching it. It's just like a surreal experience. So 2001, A Space Odyssey.
It's hard to pass it up. Just because, of course, it's 2001, A Space Odyssey. Seeing it in IMAX is like, again, it's like watching something that just seems impossible. It feels like aliens beamed it down to Earth and said, you can have this, and we're just going to go on our little ways here. But yeah, I mean, it's got one of the largest numbers in movie history for a title, which is great. There's a couple others on my list that are actually significantly larger. But yeah, 2001, A Space Odyssey. I mean, I don't even think it takes place in 2001. Does it? Do we know?
I don't know.
Who cares?
I mean, it sounded like so far in the future. I was even watching like a Seinfeld episode from, it was like 1996, and they were talking about the millennium. And like, do you think that we can just like read each other's minds in the years 2000? Like, people thought that the the year 2000 was just like the brink of this future utopia.
Yeah, it was they like the first year after the millennium, and like Community said, we didn't even have a space odyssey. We just overvalidated Carson Daly. So, you know, maybe you overvalidated this pick. Maybe you hyped it up too much.
Maybe.
I don't know anyone who's ever heard of this movie.
You've never, yeah. I don't know if you can like overhype this. Like, sure, like the average person, I think, if we're honest, like the average person who goes to the movies, you show them this movie, they're either going to get bored like halfway through, or they're just at the end, they're gonna be like, what the heck was that? But I think it's a movie that grows on you, and it's a movie that you really do have to kind of be in the mood for to watch. And it's just a strange experience. You really need to think a lot. And there's so much that's just left out there for you to fill in the gaps on your own. So it's a very special movie.
Yep.
Another movie that's very, very long and very, very classic that I'm going to take is Seven Samurai. Seven Samurai, Kira Kurosawa, classic. Basically, every modern team-up movie is kind of just based on that. Like, you heard it here, kids. Like, you wouldn't have the Avengers if it wasn't for Seven Samurai. So go and watch it.
Yeah, it's... I've been actually thinking about rewatching it, whether it's Seven Samurai or Rashomon or just any Kurosawa movie, just Rashomon, been in the mood for just masterpieces. Seven Samurai is like genuinely some of the most brisk 3 hours I've ever experienced. And I think it has like a 40-minute long action sequence in the end that it just builds towards. And it is undoubtedly one of the greatest sequences of all time. All the characters get their due. It's like, yes, this was... Mm-hmm. There'd be no Avengers, there'd be no Star Wars, there'd be no Justice League, there'd be no Magnificent Seven, there'd be no anything without Seven Samurai. And there's just
no again, Bugs Life,
no Bugs Life, no nothing. Seven Samurai just rolls off the tongue, not Eight Samurai, not Six, not Samurai, just Samurai, Seven Samurai. You know what you're getting, seven of them, 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I had Seven Samurai top of my list. It was definitely like going to be one of my top picks. It's just one of those. Kurosawa, one of the like the godfathers of like cinema. You can, like you said, pretty much point to any movie in existence to even be like, you know, oh, Toy Story, like, oh, there's a Seven Samurai, you know, kind of a reference in there, inspiration. So it's probably one of the most talked about movies, one of the most imitated movies ever. So you got to give that a shout. I definitely need to rewatch it too. That Hidden Fortress, just like any team up movie you ever watched, got the Seven Samurai influence in there somewhere, probably.
Yeah, the only thing I feel bad about when I watch it is just like the guys that had to like get that weird haircut that a lot of them have. Like, man, they look dumb for a long time after this movie. All right. Well, Roman, back to you.
I think there's Q could take both of these that I really want to take, but I'm going to take one. And I think that this one is, there's something that is so good about this title that is just like, this has to be one of the best titles of all time. House of a Thousand Corpses. It just is awesome. Just what a great title. Rob Zombie, pretty solid movie, of course. But I don't even think we see that many corpses, but there's definitely a lot.
I don't know.
The finale of that is crazy. They pile up for sure. And yeah, just a really great title. I love it. There's something about it. That's always, the poster's great. I remember like being younger and seeing it in like Blockbuster in the horror section and being like, I don't want that. And then also the weird, like Frosty the Snowman one, where it was like a digital one where it was like Frosty Snowman was happy. And then it had like a scary face. That's memories, freaky. Bad memories, scary memories.
Yeah. I think I remember seeing shirts and like the movie poster is really cool. Like the dude kind of staring at you, but I still haven't actually, like, I'm sitting here realizing I haven't seen a single like Rob Zombie joint. Like, I haven't seen a single movie that he's done. And so maybe with the Munsters coming out, I need to do some kind of like homework. Yeah. I mean, people talk about the Halloween remake that he did, and for better or worse or whatever. And like all of just like the weird grindhouse like movies that he does with his wife. It's like, that's kind of interesting. He's obviously having a blast doing them. So like, who cares if they're actually good? Like the dude has, he knows what he wants and he does it.
Yeah. Respect for Rob Zombie. It's funny, 'cause like I was having a conversation about like Rob Zombie at work, and some guy was like, hey, you know, like the first Halloween remake he did is good, and everything just gets like progressively worse. So like, don't have a high expectations for Munsters at all. So I'm just like, okay, I didn't really watch Munsters as a kid, but you know, steering back to the conversation, House of a Thousand Corpses always like made an impression on me as a kid when I like saw that poster and like I saw the title. It's one of the greatest titles ever. House of a Thousand Corpses. Just like immediate ticket. I want to see it. Give me a thousand corpses or give me a refund.
I want to like, see excuse me, sir. I only counted 987.
But the poster said there was 1,000. What a ripoff.
Well, my money back, man. But yeah, I haven't even seen the movie, but I still love that title. I still remember that poster.
Yeah, it is a sweet title. Yeah, and like the bigger the number, like the more like just asinine the title has to be. Like it was just like 10 million corpses. Like, whoa, I need to see this movie. All right, Quantas, you get 2 in a row.
Oh, goody. 2 in a row. Okay, so I don't think this one's going to come back to me, so I'm going to pick it, and that's going to be Blade Runner 2049. Because I love my sci-fi goodness. I just do. I love my Blade Runner sequel. It counts because I don't think the first Blade Runner takes place anywhere close to 2040. I think it takes place in like a year past now.
It was like 2019, something like that.
Yeah, it's like, 2049 is like in the definite future. Maybe it definitely doesn't look like that or probably look a lot worse. But 2049, one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite sci-fi flicks, one of my favorite just overall like epic movies just to have as a blockbuster, just to consume. It's like a, you know, three act structural piece right there. Just Ryan Gosling, you know, kind of moping around for 3 hours trying to find out his existence. But yeah, it's so good. Even if I describe it as like one of the most boring movies ever, you'll feel fulfilled at the end of it. Great. Even my parents liked it. So if that tells you something, they don't like anything.
Yeah. I mean, if you like the first Blade Runner, obviously you'd probably love Blade Runner 2049. It was on my list, but I wasn't really sure. It's like it's kind of a sequel, but it's like it's not really. It's almost like a spin-off where like it's almost like a crossover. It's like in that same universe. But I love that movie. Like I was just blown away. Like few movies have done that for me. Like I think the scene where he's standing there and like the Ana de Armas's character as like the hologram and she like reaches down her finger. And I'm just like, this is like these colors and like these visuals are like messing with my eyes. Like I like my eyes aren't good enough to like, look at this. Like this is too precious for me.
Yeah. We saw that in Dolby.
You were sitting next to me.
Yeah. We saw that in Dolby. That's actually the first time we had ever met, like physically had ever met, I think. No. Yeah. Was it?
No, I think we saw the Justice League, unfortunately, as our first
movie. No, Blade Runner came out before Justice League, a month before. And then we got together for Justice League as well, a month later. But either way, yes, cool. We saw that in Dolby. And visual effects are genuinely just insane. I was thinking about that scene the other day, actually, where she's in the rain and the rain is like hitting her hands. And then, but it's also like not, it's like falling through because, again, she's transparent as this figure. But yeah, I mean, just what hasn't been said about it already, similar already in the same vein of the original Blade Runner. What more can you say about it? You almost can't.
Yeah. So, and I love watching him like beat the crap out of Bautista at the end, at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. She's like, man, this shouldn't be happening, but this is so cool. All right. Well, Quantas, you get another one.
All right. For my second pick, I'm going to pull from like one of my personal favorite one of my personal favorite movies right here, the category of that. Gonna be 127 hours.
Knew it.
Great title, just great. I mean, You see that, and just like whoever you are, your mind's gonna go a million different places. You know, 127 hours of what? What am I buying a ticket to here? So you know, see the trailer, you're like, oh my god, this guy got like his arms stuck between like a literal rock and a hard place for like 127 hours. You know, like find out it's based on a true story, if I'm not mistaken. So it's like, yeah, you're buying a ticket to see that. You want to see how this guy gets out of it. It's like a weirdly common situational thing that like you could be in. So it's not like an action movie to where it's like you're going to see like some Liam Neeson shit right there. So it's like, oh yeah, this could be me. I wonder how I get out of it. Maybe I end up in this situation, you know? But yeah, great title, great movie, even though James Franco is a creep. So.
Yeah. Well, at least Danny Boyle is not a creep, at least to my knowledge. And he's a really great director. And yeah, it's one of those movies where it's like every time I think about it, I just cringe on the inside. I'm like, oh, it's like I can't think about that. Like, I don't want to watch it again. She's like, oh, how could you like cut through your own arm? Like, I just I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, I'd be like, you know what, the Boulder, you win, buddy. It's your place. I'm not supposed to be here. But yeah, that 127 hours. I knew you were gonna draft that. It's one of your favorites. Should have taken it from you, but man, couldn't pass up House of a Thousand Corpses. But yeah, 127 hours is just something about it that's just so like just boom, just get you. You're like, man, I just want to watch that. I feel like watching it right now. I have the Blu-ray. Maybe I should watch it. But yeah, it's great title. James Franco's a creep. But yeah, the way that movie is like edited is really, really clever for being in this confined space, like with him thinking about the Gatorade and thinking about people and thinking about the girl. It's another scene in and of itself. But yeah, it's just great title. Banging.
All right. Well, Roman, you get your third pick.
Kind of am surprised this got back to me, but it's a lot like Seven Samurai. But then I think about what else we've drafted. 12 Angry Men.
Yeah.
I mean, it is 12 mad dudes. I mean, James, I mean, it's just, they're not all angry. One of them's a little rational. But no, either
I
don't way.
Know. Like, I was thinking about that too. I was like, wait, like, why is it called 12 Angry Men? Like the dude who does the voice of Piglet, like he doesn't get mad at all the whole time.
I always forget he does the voice of Piglet until like everyone reminds me that he did the voice of Piglet. But I think this might be one of the most formative movies for anybody that's ever seen it. It just kind of reshapes your way of like watching a movie that is set in a single location and then performances, close-ups. The close-ups in those movies are genuinely just unbelievable as they progress. It just gets loud and rowdy and intense and the fans off and they're all hot and sweating and it's raining outside. But yeah, it's just a masterpiece. 12 Angry Men, always and forever.
Yeah, we recently rewatched it, and it's just like anybody who wants to be a screenwriter needs to watch that. I don't know if it was a play first. I think it was a play first, and then it was a movie. A play
first.
Yeah, but it just like it translates so well. It's like one of the most well-written things just like ever. Of you go into a situation thinking that you understand the situation, and then through people talking, not expositionally, just people talking, like the exposition like forms in your own head. And so it's just like, it's beautiful that there's no, they don't have to like go on these like boring monologues. Like everything that they say has to deal with something that they experience in the courtroom or like information that we don't know. And it's just like brought together in such a creative way. And there's just so many great actors just sitting around one table, just pulling it off. So it's a classic for a reason.
Yeah. Even though all the men aren't that angry, I'm glad they went with the title of 12 Angry Men. 12 slightly disgruntled men just doesn't roll off the tongue as well. But, you know, it's still a great movie. It's probably one of my favorite movies of all time. You know, just sit down and you watch that. This great black and white flick, and you're seeing all these great performances and the way it's structured in the sense that you're just like a member of this, you know, room of people talking about it. And through the details of these people talking like that, it's not really expositional, even though it is. But you're forming your own idea and you're forming your own, you know, your own picture of what was happening. So I think it's one of the greatest movies in the sense that it's able to like make you literally just drag you into it like almost immediately in such a way that's been tried and true to like movies and TV. Like we see these bottle episodes all the time, but 12 Angry Men still feels so refreshing when you pop it in because it's kind of the best
for sure. All right. Well, down to me, I'm going to take what was like the rating champion of my favorite movie of all time for a long time when I was a kid. And that's the movie The Fifth Element. The movie The Fifth Element is just such a creative sci-fi movie, just does everything right. And it's just like action adventure. And Bruce Willis is just like at his best in this movie. And Gary Oldman as the villain is just so like sinister and creepy. And it's so awesome that they just like they never meet once during the movie, but yet there's just like this formidable force between them of like the protagonist, antagonist, like never meeting face to face, but like the whole movie just goes by so fast. Chris Tucker is so hilarious, and like he's like basically doing like Prince like in the future and maybe a little bit of Michael Jackson or something, but he's just like he's really like charismatic, but then like also kind of cool. And like all the girls just want to be with him. And so he's very funny. Anytime I get nervous, sometimes I just go Corbin, my man, Corbin, my man. And like, yeah, And so like the opera scene with like the blue huge lady, like it's just such a weird movie. And I think about like Bruce Willis's apartment complex in that movie. I was like, I thought that when I grew up, I was going to live in something like that with flying cars and stuff. But lo and behold, there were no flying cars. But it's just such a cool movie from beginning to end. Very quotable and very fun.
Yeah, that movie feels like just, it's almost kind of like 2001 to me, where it just feels like it's something that's just caught in a time capsule. There's nothing really like it, maybe besides like Valerian, which is of course directed by Luc Besson as well. Yeah, Fifth Element's great. Just such a unique, fun movie. It's not bad in any regard. I wouldn't even say it's like one of the greatest American films of all time. It's just solid entertainment, sci-fi entertainment, adventure entertainment. Bruce Willis is sneaky underrated in that. I've been telling people this for ages. So I'm glad we're on the same page there. But yeah, it's just a really good title too. Just enticing. What is the Fifth Element? Who cares? It's awesome. Let's watch it.
Yeah, I see why I was reigning for like the reigning champion is like one of your favorite movies of all time, because I will say it probably is one of the greatest American movies of all time, because like I think it checks all those just sci-fi trope notes perfectly, hits all of them, like hits the sweet spot all the way through. You know, we don't really get movies like Fifth Element anymore, where it's just like we gave this director like a lot of money. It was like, hey, make this giant space epic with like a really deep message behind it, but also like have Chris Tucker in the middle of it just being Chris Tucker. So yeah, I miss when we could have movies like that. I need more movies like Fifth Element. No. Valerian wasn't really hitting on the same level. I enjoyed parts of it, some of it, but yeah, you know, hopefully we get more stuff like that now that, you know, Dune is out. We're gonna get Dune 2, the Dune 2.
Yeah. All right. Well, for my last pick, I guess I already have like two sci-fis, like, and then Seven Samurai is just like, it's kind of like long, methodical. I need something like fun here. I got a couple that are fun, but I think what I'm going to do, a movie that I really liked, but like I kind of have a difficult relationship with, I'm going to go with 500 Days of Summer. Like Joseph Gordon-Levitt is really good, and Zooey Deschanel is like, she's so like evil in like a very likable way. And you love her and you hate her. And so obviously she's doing something right. And it's a strange situation because like my wife looks a lot like Zooey Deschanel. Like when I look at her in the face, like that's all I see. And so sometimes I just get like mad at my own wife because of that movie. But Joseph Gordon-Levitt is so likable. And he's just having a blast in the movie, and he's being more stuff too, because he always comes off as just like a down to earth, like genuine dude. And so he needs to be in more stuff. But and it's just like a unique experience of a movie. It like breaks into a musical randomly, and there's lots of visuals and crazy things going on. So it's I don't think it's all in order either. So I'd say 500 Days of Summer, check it out if you have not.
Well, I was actually going to bring this up. What's interesting about the title is the 500's in parentheses, if I'm not mistaken. So it's like implied that it's, because summer isn't 500 days, obviously. That's like, but it's 500 days with summer because that's her name. And then
that's her name
when it goes to autumn. So it's like, do they reveal it is exactly 500 days with her? Is that what it is?
It's been a little while, but I would assume something.
Either way, clever title and pretty solid movie. I know that like now there's like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's actually the bad guy and Zooey Deschanel is not actually the villain, which some people who are straight up like, yeah, she's the villain. I'm like, take it easy. That's not what the movie's about.
It's just like, yeah, it's a relationship and misunderstandings happen and expectations from different people aren't met. Like your idea of the relationship wasn't their idea. And sometimes it just turns out different.
Yeah. And so it's a solid movie and just a really good title as well. I love that it's in parentheses too. It's just a little bit of a different like spin on it. So yeah, it's a good one. There's a lot of good numbered titles here. There's so many.
Yeah. So many. I remember 500 Days of Summer was like one of my formative like movies when I was like coming up. So it was kind of crazy that it had this resurgence where people were like, hey, if you watch it this way, it'll be like so different than you. And I'm just like, that is kind of interesting now that people have like taken it out of like the context it's usually put in, like you said, where it's like, you know, summer is the villain. It's like, not really. You know, you take a step back and you watch it a few years later. And I haven't seen it in like years. So I imagine it'll still be an entirely different movie to when I watch it now. But yeah, it's a fun movie, solid. You got Joseph Gordon-Levitt being charming and great in it, bursting into musicals of Hall & Oates. So that's always great. That always stuck in my mind.
Like one of the most uplifting songs of all time.
Yeah, I think it just like immediately goes to a super sad scene. It's like the next scene after the transition.
Yeah. All right, well, Roman, what is your final pick?
I have not touched sci-fi, my favorite genre. There's two that I want to take, but one I want to take more, and that's District 9. Mm. Man, just what an awesome movie. I think eventually we'll see a District 9 sequel if this Prey movie ends up being something pretty good, which everyone says it is, because I think it's like some of the same group of guys that worked on District 9. So I know Dan Trachtenberg is like the whole like 10 Cloverfield Lane thing and all this other stuff, but either way, District 9, just what a really good title, and it was what a really good movie. I think it actually has one of my favorite final shots of all time. Yeah. With the alien, I think there's a lot of like really interesting text about that movie that has actually like transcended sort of our time, you know, just coming out in 2009 and a couple of years prior to some other events. But yeah, it's a masterpiece of a sci-fi movie and just one of my favorite titles in general. I will never forget watching it for the first time. I'll never forget always being enticed by the title, knowing I can't see it until I was old enough because it's rated R. But yeah, what a great movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure people just like straight up explode or like heads explode like in the movie. So it's definitely graphic, but it is one of the best sci-fi movies, I think, definitely of the 21st century. So original, and it uses the sci-fi genre like perfectly. It's like sending us a message in our time of like, this is what the future could be if, you know, we don't start treating each other right. And so it has such a great social commentary. And I think just specifically too, it taught me a lot about South Africa and like what the world is like over there. Like, I didn't even know that there were aliens there, but apparently there are. No, it's obviously a metaphor for other things that are happening. So I thought it was just brilliant. And I'm pretty sure it was nominated for Best Picture, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So way to go.
Good job.
Yeah, I remember District 9 coming out and like causing all that hysteria because people were like, oh man, this movie's so great. And I was like, I can't really see it yet because I'm a child.
And I'm 5 years old.
I remember burning a copy off like LimeWire, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
LimeWire. Wow.
Like watching a very bad copy. And like, I probably have not seen it since then. So I can't give like a full analysis on it, but I do remember there like being a lot of heavy, you know, topical talk on like immigration and stuff like that going on in the movie. So maybe it is a masterpiece. It's just one of those sneaky ones that's evading me.
Yeah. It's definitely worth a rewatch. And I think it's got like the handy cam throughout the whole movie.
Yeah. It's like a mix of like docu style.
Yeah.
And then handy cam. And then it is such a really dynamite movie. I think I'm going to rewatch it on my days off now.
Yeah.
I made my decision.
It is so good. All right, well, Quantas, top us off for the last number.
Ah, man, last number. I feel like I got to end on a strong note. And I got one close to my heart, but I think it's going to be better for like an honorable mention. So I think I'm going to stick with a vote getter, and that's going to be Hateful Eight.
Oh, good one. I don't even have that on my list.
Yeah.
Hateful Eight, it's just going to be that movie for when like I'm 40 and I'm just like coming home from work. Like, man, work really kicked my ass. Like, let me throw on a movie and just relax. And, you know, got some whiskey and I'm just like Cliff Booth and like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and stuff like that, you know? Yeah. Just feed my dog, sit down, chill, watch a movie. And Hateful Eight is just such a good kind of compilation of what Tarantino does best. Probably even more so than like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think. Because I think he takes the Western genre like and does the spaghetti Western just so well, you know? Everything's so accurate and, you know, it's so fun. All the characters are kind of despicable to the point where it's like, I wouldn't mind seeing any of the people in this tavern die right now.
Yeah.
So, and then when everybody starts dying and, you know, there's a mystery about, it's just probably one of the funnest things because I think it's one of those movies where like the mystery kind of unravels in a way you kind of forget about it over time if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. It always surprises you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always it's just because it's, there's so many twists and turns. And so it almost feels like a stage play too. So I would love if there was like ever like a stage play version of this, like I would go watch that today, but it just plays out so well. There's so much dialogue, but there's tons of good action too. And I always forget just stuff like all those twists and turns. And I loved, I think I don't know if Netflix still has it, but like it breaks it into like four different parts or something. And like mm-hmm. it's longer, but like that's a fun way to watch it too. Like I watched it in theater in the whatever dimensions that it was like released in that was special. And like, it was a really cool experience, but I think seeing it at home, since it is so long, that was a good way to watch it too.
Yeah. I didn't even make my list for some reason. I don't know why I forgot about it. It's so good. Really solid title too. And yeah, it just sells. Quentin Tarantino mostly sells more than anything, but yeah, just a really great movie. I'll never kind of forget watching that in theater. The Roadshow edition is what the special edition was called. And I think it was like 35 millimeter, I believe is what they released, which they never do for almost anything. So it was like kind of like a one night deal or a one weekend deal, but yeah, really, really good pick. I mean, it's one of his best, most underrated movies. You could say that about almost all of them, I feel like.
But. Right. Yeah. All right. Well, let's read this back. Quantas, you got 7, Blade Runner 2049, 127 Hours, and Hateful Eight. Roman, you have Ocean's 11, House of 1,000 Corpses, 12 Angry Men, and District 9. And then I have 2001 Space Odyssey, 7 Samurai, The Fifth Element, and 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So those are great lists. You guys have honorable mentions you want to throw out there? Just like list them one after the other, bust them out, Roman.
Yeah, I have a couple. You got to shout out Mr. 3000, Bernie Mac, legend. Just a really good title. Yeah. There's so many that it's like, oh, could we not draft that? 8 Mile, 40-year-old virgin might be the funniest title of all time.
Just you can't hear it without picturing Steve Carell's face in the poster too. Yeah. Just so good.
Super 8, I think, is actually like one of my favorite titles, because when you're a kid, you're like, oh, Super 8 must be something science, like sci-fi, but it's really just a camera. And you don't know it until, like, obviously you get older. And then I got two meme ones. 10,000 BC. Ooh, just what the hell, that man?
Movie sucked.
So bad.
So bad.
So bad. And then Fant 4 Stick that has the 4 in
it does.
The title. It should have counted. There's a lot of other ones, man, but man, those ones just stood out. Fant 4 Stick, 10,000 BC, 40-year-old, and 8 Mile, of course.
Yeah.
Mr. 3000.
Quantas, what are some of yours?
I got the one I was going to draft, but chose not to. 10 Cloverfield Lane, just really good title. Love it.
John Goodman is just like so women. Scary.
He is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He should be scary more. 20th Century Women, 1917, 50-50.
Yeah.
300.
Yes.
I'm surprised that didn't get picked. 99 Homes. Really underrated
movie. 99 Homes was so good. So good.
And then finally 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, that was on my list too. All right. So the one I didn't draft, the one that I wanted to, because it's maybe my favorite Disney like animated movie, but 101 Dalmatians, like the classic one. One of my favorites. The Brad Pitt one that I was going to draft would be 12 Monkeys. He looks crazy in that one, even though like the twist at the end is, I won't spoil it for people.
It's so weird.
Yeah. I got a lot of Bruce Willis movies on here. I got The Sixth Sense also. He's got a lot of number of movies. 28 Days Later, 10 Things I Hate About You, Apollo 13.
Oh, yeah.
16 Candles.
Oh, yeah.
Short Term 12.
Oh, that's
a really great movie. And then 310 to Yuma, something that I like, feel like we haven't talked about before, but that is like one that's like a great modern Western, you know, with Russell Crowe and Christian Bale just like acting the heck out of that movie.
One of my favorite Western endings ever.
Yeah.
It's so good. Shout out to 42 as well. Chadwick Boseman, Jackie Robinson movie, which is very good. And then, of course, the legendary last movie I saw before I moved out of Illinois, 2012, Roland Emmerich's classic disaster movie.
Yeah, I was rewatching some stuff where they were looking at some of the like the special effects, and some of it's genuinely pretty good. Although it's just like crazy, unbelievable. It's just like the
when they're driving and the earth is literally like non-existent.
Yeah. The CGI guys were having a blast of that movie, but John Cusack was not.
Oh no.
Yeah, what's he doing these days? Who knows? All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Go on Facebook and vote on which one you think voted best and tell us which ones we missed. Maybe we didn't even honorably mention something, or maybe some of our honorable mentions are better than the ones we chose. Just let us know.
Yeah.
And we'll be back With new episodes the next coming weeks, all the way leading up to Christmas. So season three is here until the end of the year. We're excited to be here and can't wait to hang out with you guys more. Till then, we'll see you guys next time.
Count to 10.
Peace, the new film drafters.
Renew.
Yeah, we gotta start like wearing shirts ironically now since we have more seasons than Firefly. Hope it catches on.